Ever notice how many things we do every day to kind of keep bad stuff from happening? Like seat belts, fire drills, even those like caution hot warnings on coffee cups. It's all, when you think about it, risk mitigation. And that's what we're going to deep dive on today. We're looking at a system that, well, takes us to a whole other level, aviation maintenance.
And you're right to connect those everyday examples to aviation.
Oh, yeah.
The stakes are obviously much higher when you're talking about, well, keeping planes in the air.
Exactly. And we've got this Aviation Maintenance magazine article that it breaks down this whole system that the pros use, called something like Safety Management Systems, SMS for short.
SMS.
Don't let the name fool you. This stuff's fascinating.
It really is. People think aviation maintenance is all about like fixing what's broken.
Yeah.
But SMS is about preventing those breaks from even happening in the first place.
So less reacting, more preventing.
You got it. And the article starts with a really simple idea. Every risk has two parts.
Okay.
How likely is it to happen?
Okay.
And how bad would it be if it did happen?
Okay, that makes sense. Like, losing my keys is sadly pretty likely. But if I lose my phone, oh, the consequences are way worse.
Perfect example. Now imagine an airline, trying to manage risk, but across thousands of
Oh,
flights,
yeah.
complex machinery, keeping costs down, they can't address every single what-if scenario.
Right, it'd be impossible.
That's where SMS comes in.
Okay.
It helps them prioritize. You can't fix everything, so you focus on what matters most.
So how do they figure out what to focus on? How do they even begin to prioritize all that?
So the article lays out two main strategies.
Okay.
You can either reduce the likelihood of something bad happening,
Okay.
or you reduce the consequence if it does happen.
Okay.
Two sides of the same coin.
Makes sense. But planes are a bit more complicated than, well, most things. Does this article have any like real world examples of how this works in aviation?
Absolutely. It uses a surprisingly relatable example: skipped steps during maintenance.
Well, we've all been there, right? Reading instructions too quickly, missing a step in a recipe. Oh, don't even get me started on recipe mishaps. Last week, actually, never mind. You were saying something about skip steps in aviation maintenance.
So imagine a mechanic, even a highly trained one,
Yeah.
accidentally misses a step in a complex maintenance procedure.
Oh, wow.
It happens.
Yeah.
But SMS addresses this in two ways.
Okay.
First, to reduce the likelihood, you have checklists, detailed manuals, those sign-offs you always hear about.
Right.
It's all about building in those safeguards, so missing a step is less likely.
Okay, so that's reducing the chance of the mistake happening in the first place. But
Exactly.
what about like minimizing the damage if someone does mess up?
That's where reducing the consequence comes in.
Okay.
The article talks about inspections, like right before an aircraft is released,
Right.
catching those errors in-house before they impact passengers.
Makes sense. Like having a second set of eyes, or in this case, probably a whole team of expert eyes, to double check everything. So checklists, inspections, all good stuff. But this article, it takes it a step further, right? It talks about this hierarchy of controls, which I don't know, sounds kind of intense.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Think of it like a ladder
Okay.
with the most effective ways to reduce risk right there at the very top.
Okay.
And at the top, we have designing for minimum risk.
So before you even need checklists or inspections, you're trying to design the risk out entirely.
This is about being proactive, not just reactive.
Oh, wow.
The article uses the example of a well-designed paint shop.
Okay.
If you have proper ventilation from the start, you dramatically reduce the risk of, say, fume inhalation.
Right.
You've addressed the problem before it even becomes a problem.
Wow, that's thinking ahead. But what happens when you can't completely design the risk out? There must be times when you can't just like engineer your way out of a problem.
You're right. Sometimes it's unavoidable.
Yeah.
That's where the next rung on our ladder comes in, incorporating safety devices.
Okay, give me an example. What kind of safety devices are we talking about here?
Well, let's stick with that paint shop example.
Right.
Even with amazing ventilation, there might be times when, some exposure to fumes, it's just unavoidable.
Right.
So you provide respirators,
Oh,
like
cool.
a backup plan,
Right.
a safety net, just in case that initial design isn't enough.
Right, so you're layering in that extra protection. Makes sense. What's the next step down on this hierarchy?
Next up, providing warning devices.
Okay.
This one's all about reducing the likelihood of something happening by, alerting people to the hazard.
Okay.
Think those caution, hot signs.
Right.
Or even those, you know, those annoying beeping sounds when you haven't put your seatbelt on in the car.
Oh, or like that time I totally ignored the wet floor sign and nearly took a tumble.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
Exactly.
Those signs are there for a reason, even if we don't always listen.
And as simple as they may seem, these warning devices, crucial in aviation.
Oh, yeah.
The article mentions things like clear signage in the hangars
Right.
and those like bright remove before flight tags you see on certain aircraft parts.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They're there to grab your attention,
Yeah.
right? To remind you of potential dangers, even when you're, you know, laser focused on a million other
Feel with
things.
little like nudges in the right direction.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got designing for safety, adding safety devices, putting up warning signs. What else is there?
This might seem obvious, but that last level of the hierarchy is, well, developing procedures
Okay.
and training.
Yeah, I was gonna say
Well,
training, you'd think that would be like higher up.
now you might think this should be higher up, right?
Yeah.
Training is important.
Yeah.
It is crucial, but here's why it's at the bottom.
Okay.
Procedures and training, they rely on humans being perfect all the time.
Yeah.
And let's face it, we're not. We get tired, we get distracted, we have bad days.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right.
So it's not enough to just like heavy-E the procedures.
Yeah.
You need to be constantly, reinforcing them, making sure they're actually being
Well,
followed and like
correct.
updating them as needed.
And that's where things like, regular audits
Okay.
and continuous improvement that comes in,
Right.
which, if you remember, were mentioned in the article as like key elements of that overall SMS approach.
Yeah,
It
yeah.
all ties together.
It's
They're
right.
always evaluating, always striving to be better.
This SMS thing it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But isn't all of this like incredibly complex and expensive to implement?
Yeah.
Especially, I imagine, for smaller organizations.
Right.
It almost sounds like something only like these huge companies with tons of resources could
It
manage.
can seem daunting at first, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But the beauty of SMS is that it's scalable.
Okay.
The article emphasizes that it's not about, ticking boxes and creating mountains of paperwork. It's
Right.
about creating a safety culture
Right.
and implementing like practical risk management strategies, ones that make sense for your specific organization.
So a small, aircraft repair shop,
Right.
they wouldn't need the same like level of complexity as, let's say, a major airline.
Exactly.
They'd both have SMS, but it would just look different.
The core principles, they remain the same, but
Right.
the specific implementation, that'll vary depending on the size, the complexity,
Okay.
and just the nature of the operation.
That's reassuring to hear. So it sounds like this SMS approach is about more than just, the checklists and the procedures.
Yay.
It's about creating this like culture of safety
Yes.
that kind of permeates every level of the organization.
You hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
It's about proactively identifying and mitigating those risks.
Okay.
But it's also about fostering open communication, continuous learning, and a shared commitment to safety. I mean, at all levels, right?
Wow.
It has to be part of the company's DNA.
So it's not just about like avoiding accidents. It's about striving for excellence in every single aspect of aviation safety.
Precisely. It's about creating a resilient system, one that can adapt to changing circumstances and just continuously improve over time.
And that's how, the aviation industry has gotten so safe.
Exactly.
That's a pretty powerful concept.
Right.
So we've talked about, identifying risks, implementing controls, and, always striving for improvement.
Right.
What else does this article highlight as being important in this SMS framework? Anything we've missed?
There's one more crucial piece of the puzzle that we haven't touched on yet.
Okay, what's that?
Documentation.
Documentation, you mean like paperwork?
Well, yes,
Okay.
but it's more than just filling out forms, right?
Got
It's
it.
about creating this clear and comprehensive record of your safety management system.
Okay, so what kind of things are we talking about documenting here?
Everything from your hazard identification process to your risk mitigation strategies, training records.
Wow, incident reports, the actions taken in response to those incidents.
Wow, that's comprehensive.
Yeah.
But I can see why that would be important, right?
Right.
Keeping this like detailed logbook of your safety journey.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this documentation, it serves several very important purposes.
Like what? Fill me in.
First, it helps ensure accountability
Okay.
by documenting your,
Yeah.
safety processes and procedures.
Right.
You create a clear record of, well, who is responsible for what,
Right.
which, let me tell you, can be essential in case of an audit or investigation.
Yeah. So it's not about like pointing fingers right, if something goes wrong, right?
Right.
It's about understanding like how the system worked or maybe how it didn't work.
Right.
So you can learn from it and make it better in the future.
You got it.
Okay.
Second, documentation. It helps track progress and demonstrate really the effectiveness of your SMS by keeping records of, you know, incidents, hazards.
Yeah.
And the actions taken, you can show how, well, how your efforts are actually making a difference in reducing those risks over time.
And that kind of data can be really powerful, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you can prove that something is working, it makes it so much easier to justify, you know, the resources you're putting toward it.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
It can help secure funding, demonstrate compliance with regulations, and even, you know, attract and retain top talent.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
And finally, documentation. Essential for sharing knowledge and best practices.
Okay.
By documenting your kind of lessons learned
right.
and successful risk mitigation strategies,
yeah.
you can help others in your organization
right.
and even across the entire industry, really, to improve their own safety performance.
Well, so documentation isn't just about like bureaucracy.
Right.
It's about creating this valuable resource for continuous learning and improvement.
Exactly. It's yeah. an investment yeah. in the long-term safety and success of your organization.
Oh, this has been such an eye-opening conversation.
It has.
I had no idea. So much went into aviation safety.
Yeah.
We've covered so much from like the basics of risk assessment to, you know, the importance of creating this strong safety culture.
Right.
And using data to drive continuous improvement.
Absolutely.
But I think what's really striking to me is mm-hmm. how this SMS approach, it's relevant, you know,
yeah.
far beyond just the world of aviation.
I agree.
It's something that, I don't know, any organization, any industry could benefit from.
The principles we've discussed today, understanding and mitigating risks.
Yeah.
Fostering that culture of safety.
Right.
And using data to drive that continuous improvement that, applicable to any industry or organization that, well, that takes safety seriously.
It's about like shifting from this reactive approach
yeah.
to a proactive one, isn't it?
Exactly.
Instead of waiting for something to go wrong.
Right.
You're constantly looking for ways to make things safer.
Right.
And more efficient.
True.
And that's a mindset that I think could benefit everyone.
I agree.
But going back to aviation for a second, there's one thing I thought was particularly interesting.
Oh, yeah. What's that designing for minimum risk concept we talked about earlier?
Oh, yeah.
That really stuck with me. It's such a powerful idea.
It really stood out to me, too. It's like you're outsmarting problems before they even have a chance to, you know, appear.
Exactly. And it often gets overlooked.
Do you have any more examples of what that looks like in action?
Absolutely. The article used the example of a like well-designed paint shop.
Right.
But let's take something a bit more, you know, relatable.
Okay.
Yeah. Imagine you're designing a kitchen.
Okay. I'm thinking like a spacious island.
Okay.
Lots of natural light.
Yeah.
Maybe one of those fancy touchscreen fridges everyone's got these days.
Sounds lovely. But now let's put on our, you know, risk management hats for a second.
Okay.
What are some potential hazards in a kitchen?
Hazards.
Sharp corners on countertops, slippery floors.
Right, yeah.
A stovetop, say, within easy reach of small children.
Yeah.
These are all things that if you don't consider them in like the design phase, right?
Yeah.
They could lead to accidents later on.
Oh, wow. I never thought about it like that. You're right. I've definitely bumped into my fair share of sharp corners.
Yeah.
So are you saying like, instead of just childproofing after the fact,
right.
you should be, you know, designing those hazards out from the start.
Exactly.
Like rounded corners, non-slip flooring, maybe tucking the stove top away against a wall or something.
Or how about a stove with like automatic shutoff features?
Oh, right.
So if you forget to turn it off, it's not a fire hazard.
That's brilliant.
Right.
So you're not just relying on like people being careful all the time.
Right.
You're building safety into like the structure itself.
Yes.
And the function of the kitchen. You're removing like the opportunity for human error.
Precisely. And this approach can be applied to, I mean, so much more than kitchens, right?
Oh, I bet.
Think about like urban planning, designing those walkable neighborhoods, well-lit streets,
right.
clearly marked crosswalks. These can all significantly reduce the risk of pedestrian accidents.
Oh, that's a good point.
Or in, say, manufacturing.
Yeah.
You design tools and workstations with ergonomics in mind.
Right.
That can help prevent, you know, repetitive strain injuries.
Oh, wow. This is making me look at like everything differently. It's
Yeah.
like you're playing this giant game of what if,
Yeah.
but instead of just like imagining the worst case scenario,
Right.
you're actually like d designing solutions into the system itself
That's a great way to put it.
to like prevent those bad things from happening.
And you know what's even more interesting?
What's that?
This approach, a lot of times it goes hand in hand with improved, efficiency,
Right.
functionality.
Really.
When you design for minimum risk, you're often streamlining those processes,
Okay.
reducing complexity, and
Yeah,
just
right.
creating a more like intuitive and user-friendly
So it's
experience.
not just about safety. It's about like making things better in general. So
Exactly.
it's a win-win.
It
You're
is.
making things safer and any better
Yeah.
at the same time. Now that's something I can definitely get behind.
And that brings us back to like the core of what this whole deep dive has been about, right?
Okay.
Proactive risk management.
Right.
It's not about, living in a bubble wrapped in cotton wool. It's about understanding that risks, they're just an inherent part of life,
Yeah.
and finding smart, innovative ways to mitigate them
Yeah.
without like stifling creativity or progress.
It's about working smarter, not harder.
There you go.
This whole conversation, it's really opened my eyes to just the importance of thinking ahead,
Yeah.
considering the like the potential consequences of, our actions
Right.
and designing for safety like from the ground up.
Absolutely.
It's a mindset, I think, that I'm going to try to carry with me in everything I do,
As you should.
both personally and professionally.
Because whether we realize it or not, right,
Yeah.
we're all risk managers in our own right.
I
Every
love that.
decision we make,
Yeah.
every action we take, it carries with it a certain level of risk. But by embracing this proactive, this safety-conscious mindset,
Right.
we can at least try to minimize those risks
Right.
and create a safer, more resilient world for ourselves and for future generations.
That's such a great point and a perfect note to end on. It's been a pleasure diving deep with you today, expert speaker.
Likewise.
And to all our listeners out there, thanks for joining us on this journey
Yeah, thanks everyone.
into, well, the fascinating world of aviation safety and beyond. And remember, safety isn't just a destination, it's a continuous journey of awareness, learning, and improvement. Until next time.